Now would you turn with me, please, to that portion of God's Word that we read, the Acts of the Apostles and Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. And we might read again those words that run from verse 13 downwards. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the woman which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. And she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, If we have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying, and so on. For a while today, we wish to consider, as the Lord would enable us, this woman that is brought before us, Lydia. And Lydia, as she is brought before us, we are told something very simple and yet ultimately very profound about her. That the Lord opened her heart. Now we read into verse 16 for this purpose that there was a damsel possessed with a spirit of divination which her masters received much gain off, and the Lord also dealt with her. We could have gone on to read of the Philippian jailer, how dramatic, we might say, the Lord dealt with him. There was an earthquake that came. There was the breaking asunder of the gates upon the prison. He could hear the apostles singing unto him. What a dramatic, we might say in that sense of a worldly term, this was. But you know, friends, this is not always how conversions are. There will be very few occasions when there will be earthquakes. There will be very few occasions when somebody will be possessed. But you see, more often than not, it is something that is simple and yet ultimately profound. Because what we have here with Lydia, the Lord opening her heart, he did that with the damsel and he did that with the Philippian jailer. The Lord opens the heart. And friends, as we perhaps mentioned over these last few days, even in prayer itself, when the Lord opens the heart, that heart is never closed again. That heart is never closed again. Never to be closed anymore. Now, the account of Lydia is one that can be applicable in three different ways. It can be applicable to those who perhaps have that need of conversion itself, and how it has been taken like that, and how it has been preached for encouragement of men and women and young people to close with Jesus Christ. Those who perhaps are struggling with the larger obstacles to coming to lay hold upon Jesus Christ. It can be those, and it is a word of encouragement to those who are in the valley of indecision, and they are wrestling with the things of the Lord, whether the Lord is working in their hearts or not. Maybe they're saying to themselves, I cannot say that I have opened my heart. Well, you see, friends, it is not you that has opened your heart, it's the Lord that opens the heart. And you're to take encouragement from that, because if you have a realization of this work in the heart, then you see that it is a divine work. And that is a powerful motive to you. It is a powerful motive when the Lord works in the heart. But thirdly, those that have been brought into God's grace, maybe in our weakness and in our frailty, we seek again and again those marks to encourage us that we are indeed in the faith. And so what we wish to consider today, as the Lord would enable us, is we wish to consider this progress from Lydia, as it is the progress from each and every one of us, until it gets to this stage of seeing the marks. So the first thing we notice is this, that before the Lord opens our heart, prior to that opening of the heart, that heart was a heart of unbelief. It was a heart of unbelief. Now, what do we know about Lydia? Well, the first thing that we know about Lydia was that she was a Gentile. We are told that she comes from Thyatira. And Thyatira is in the region of Lydia. That was the name of the region, was Lydia. Now, we don't know that when she comes here to Philippi, have they just called her Lydia because that was the area from which she came, or was she indeed named that from birth after the region, but that was the name of the area in which Thyatira was set. It was Lydia itself. And as that place, Thyatira, it would later have a congregation of its own, but because of persecution, it's very likely that Lydia's family move on to Philippi. And when she comes, she is gathering here as a Gentile with those who are associated with the ancient people of God. Now, there's something we know about those Jews that are gathered at Philippi. We don't know how many of them there were there. We know that outside of the city they go for a time of prayer, likely before the Sabbath day, and we are told that the women come thither. What we do know about that group is this: there were less than 10 men in that group, because otherwise, if there were 10 men there, they would have had a synagogue. And it seems that there was no synagogue there, so they go outside, out of the city, for a time of prayer. And the Lord comes and he singles out this woman. He singles her out. She's singled out for grace. And she's singled out for mercy. And the Lord is the one that opens her heart. You see, there was a quiet work going on in her life. And in this quiet work that was going on in her life, there might have been those that were there and they were looking on. Maybe they didn't know what was going on in her heart. But the Lord was working in that heart. You know what the Lord was showing her, as he shows every one of his people when they are in that period of unbelief? He shows them the superficiality of this world. He shows them the utter shallowness of this life. He shows them, perhaps clearly, but he shows them in a measure, a glimpse of an eternity of the lost. And he shows them his grace and his mercy. You know, it's very likely, as we know from Philippi, that there was a lot of idol worship going on. And I suppose when Lydia arrives at Philippi, she was thinking, well, in almost this is like being back at Thyatira. You see, it doesn't matter where we go in the world is always the same. The world is empty. Our friends, as we are gathered here today, let me ask you with an honesty that will be demanded of us on the judgment day. Do you find satisfaction here in this world? Do you find that the waters of this world are indeed a satisfaction unto you, that they're giving you a moment of refreshment? Well, there was a time in Lydia's life that was so. But you see, when the Lord comes and he opens the heart, it's no longer so. She comes, she drinks from the waters of this world, and there's a bitterness there. There's a bitterness there. She tastes the stagnant waters, and even before she goes to taste, she finds the stench. The stench of rottenness and of decay. She was abandoning the idols of Thyatira. Friends, that's what we do when the Lord opens the heart. The first thing that has to go are all of the idols. You know, you have them, don't you? You have them in the cupboard there in your mind and in your heart. And when you open that cupboard door and you peer in, everything falls out. The idols. The attractions. The world. The entertainment of the world. Everything that will draw us away from the things of the Lord. See, they go bit by bit because they are no longer precious to us. Or they shouldn't be. And we are told something about it here. We are told something that this was a woman who was a seller of purple. She knew this well, this business in Thyatira. Here was a woman who was a careful woman. She had built up this business for herself. And yet, friends, while she had all of this, she realized ultimately that she had nothing at all. Because there was a day that was coming that all of this purple garments, with all of their cost and with all of their price, she was going to leave behind. The business was going to be left behind. You see, friends, isn't it so that there's a point in our own experience that we come to that we say we no longer want to put down the bricks and mortar into this world? But rather, like the patriarchs of old, we wish to see ourselves dwelling in tents. Because we're heading for a city with foundations, whose builder and whose maker is God. Ah, there comes a time when she was seeking. And where was she seeking? Well, friends, she was seeking at the prayer meeting. She was seeking at the prayer meeting. Oh, how important that prayer meeting is. Always be found in the prayer meeting. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And the Lord came and he blessed her at that prayer meeting. There was a yearning in her heart. A woman who had all of her idols. And now there was a yearning in the heart. And she was found in that prayer where, in that place where prayer is wont to be made. The heart was closed. And now that heart would be opened. But what had the heart closed? What had the heart closed? What is the lock that so often was that which held our hearts closed? You know, if you have a lock, and of course you'll know this yourself, there's a time when it's not touched. There's a time when it is left aside that the lock is seized. It builds up with rust. Oh, there's the rust of unbelief. Not that there is necessarily a rejection of the great truths of the Bible, but there's unbelief so often in the things of the gospel and what it is to have saving faith. And we have all been there. When our heart is seized with unbelief, that is where we are. Before the heart is open, there is enmity against God. In whatever shape and in whatever form, we might never openly express it. But there is an enmity against God. Perhaps there is an ignorance. You know, so often, and let me just say this is one of the ones I say in passing. With our mind as you come unto the table of the Lord and his day to come. You know, many have stayed away from the table of the Lord because they come to that portion of scripture that there is damnation for him that eats and drinks unworthily. And I don't know what their confusion is this. Maybe the thing is this, to think if I stay away, there's going to be no damnation to me. Well, of course, if they're outside of Christ, if we were outside of Christ, there is damnation anyway. But the confusion seems to be over that eating and drinking unworthily. And what they have confused is they have confused unworthily with unworthy. Now friends, there is not one person here, whether it is in the pews or in the pulpit, not even the Apostle Paul himself, who was ever worthy to come to the table of the Lord. And indeed, if we have a sense that we are ever worthy, that is the time that we should stay away from the table of the Lord. The eating and drinking unworthily is in the context of the problem that there is at Corinth. There is no examination. There is in Corinth no Thursday of a communion. There is no Friday of a communion. There is no examining the heart. And so they were coming and they were eating, not able to discern the Lord's body. That is eating and drinking unworthily. So our heart can be seized. There can be arrogance and presumption in the heart. We are too proud to bow before the Lord. And that was where we were before the heart was opened in unbelief. There can be discouragement. That can be a lock upon the heart. When we ask that question, is the light ever going to shine upon my soul? Am I ever going to be converted? Well, you see, friends, here Lydia has this real experience of the Lord opening the heart. And that is an encouragement for the discouragement. So the heart prior to the opening, unbelief. But then, friends, during the heart's opening, and this is conversion itself, during the heart's opening, what does the Lord usually use in the opening of a heart? Well, he uses the instrumentality of the word. The word as it is going forth, it is the foolishness of preaching. Ah, but friends, we are told something here that is wonderful. She heard the word of God. Here she is, she's sitting, and she is hearing the gospel, and this attention is to the word of God. Now, we don't know what it was that Paul was bringing to her here. And I suppose we don't know for a very good reason. That it is the Lord's word. And the most important thing is what we shall say later on. But this word of God, it makes claims on our life. And that's how it is when the Lord is working in the heart. We hear the word of God and it makes claims upon us. It's not for the person down in the other pew. Let us not hear for other people. Let us hear for ourselves. And this word of God comes and it makes a claim on our life. But do you know, the most important thing of all is this, that this word is accompanied by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is accompanying this word. Ah, friends, are we convinced by the claims of the word of God? Has that word of God come into our hearts? Has that word of God made claims upon our life? Well, then we're to see that as the Lord has made those claims upon our life, then there is conversion working in the soul. Maybe there was a time when we could see that conversion was working in the souls of others. And that can be a discouraging thing as well when we are outside of Christ. But friends, when we look at the likes of Lydia, surely it is an encouragement to us. It is indeed the Holy Spirit that comes and he breaks open that heart. What a wonderful thing it is. Breaks open the seized lock. Breaks open the closeness of our arrogance and of our ignorance. Breaks open the discouragement that we have. And it is by the power of the Spirit. You see, our eyes are open. And we see nothing other than the unsearchable riches of Christ. The unsearchable riches of his own person. And when there is a new creature, all things are passed away. All things become new. And there is a leaving, therefore, of new evidence. Now, friends, let me say this. When I say here that, or when the scriptures say here that the Lord opened, and we know that the Lord opens the heart here, this this replication here, this idea of a door, the handle is not on the inside. We don't open. The handle is on the outside. God opens. God opens the heart. But there is this leaving of new evidence. It will be obvious that there is a change. So prior to the heart being open, unbelief. When the heart has been open, conversion. A changing. What is the point of conversion? What is the point in time when we are converted? It is when we empty ourselves of all of our trust and all of our righteousness. And by simple faith, we rest in the finished work of Christ. At that point in time, there is conversion. The Lord opened our heart. But then, after the heart is opened, the marks of being touched by Christ. Verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. She attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. This is the difference between a closed heart and an open heart. Both are hearers. Both maybe sit side by side next to each other. But you know, friends, hearing is difficult, isn't it? Hearing is difficult. Well, what were some of the marks? Well, the first mark was this. There was application. There was application. She was concerned to apply the word to her own condition. She was concerned as she heard that word to apply it to her own life, to her own unbelief, to her own workings of the Lord in the heart. You see, when the heart is opened, there is an application of the truth of the Word of God as it is given by the Holy Spirit to enliven that heart. Friends, have you been given that grace to believe? Oh, you say, I have been given that grace to believe. Well, then you're attending unto the things of the Lord. Attending on to the gospel with the heart. You are a doer of it. And not a hearer only. See, that's the difference. That's the difference. A doer of it and not a hearer only. Isn't that what James is saying? We're not merely like a man who looks in the glass and forgets what manner of man he is. You know how it is when you're rushing. You'll check yourself in the mirror and then you'll rush out. No, he's saying, we are like the one who has this setting forth of the gospel before us, and we see what we are. We study ourselves in the Word of God. The Word of God is the mirror unto our souls, and we come with the soul in every detail onto that mirror, and we look for the reflection of God, even into our hearts. There's an application of the word. But you'll notice here that there was a dedication of the word. She was dedicated onto the word. And we are told here, and when she was baptized and her household. See, here we are. We are in the first century church. Here we are. We are at Philippi. There was no church at Philippi before. This was this loose gathering. Her parents had not been baptized. This was the background from which she came. And she knew that there needed to be this dedication unto the Word of God. You see, it was no longer sufficient that she kept it within.
You see, this was a type of her dedication. This was a type that she was setting forth to all the world, if you like, that she was his. Now, you know the sacraments that we have of baptism. On the sacrament, as you will come to remember, of the Lord's Supper, there are two different sacraments. One, baptism, is as the element of water is being applied. That is the Lord teaching us. They're not the same sacraments. That's the Lord teaching us of what we need to have. We need to have the pouring out of the Spirit. We need to have the blood of Jesus Christ applied to us for the washing. That's what we need to have. It's pointing forward. When we have Jesus Christ and we come to the Lord's Supper, we are saying, this is what Jesus Christ has done for me. He's poured out his blood. It has been applied to me. He's broken his body. He broke it for me. One's pointing forward, the other's pointing back to this point of the opening of the heart. You see, there is repentance here. There is love here. There is faith here. There is new obedience here. And friends, if she came without any of these things, it would be an empty profession. An empty profession. We're not saying that it's works. When we condemn works, we are condemning works before conversion. That people look to their works before their conversion in order to be converted. But after they are converted, there will be all of this fruit of the Spirit in the life. And there will indeed not only be application and dedication, but there will be consecration. She will give herself as we will give ourselves wholly over to the things of the Lord. Verse 15, the last part of verse 15. If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord. See, here she's coming. And she's trying her profession before the church. You know, there seems to be something in today's modern church. If somebody says they're a Christian, then you dare not say they're not. Doesn't matter about their lives. Doesn't matter whether they are devoid of love and obedience and faith and repentance. Doesn't matter. As long as they say it. No. Here we have the proof. She comes to Paul and she says, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord. In other words, here is like the Kirk session in Philippi. And what was she going to consecrate? Well, she was going to consecrate all of her life unto the Lord's people. Come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. There is a mark that we have passed from death to life when we love the brethren. When we love the Lord, friends, we'll be in the Lord's house. With the Lord's people. Now I know that because of old age or severe infirmity or great disease, people are confined to their homes and they cannot leave. And we know that there are people and they are so in the providence of the Lord, they cannot leave. They cannot come to the Lord's house. And that is a great grievance to them. But friends, there seems to be something today that very often People have a reluctance even now to be in the presence of one another. Well, he or she wanted to be in the presence of the Lord's people and have the Lord's people in her presence. You see what she was saying? She was basically saying with Ruth, "Thy people are my people. Thy God, my God." Friends, you might be here today. And maybe you are questioning many of these marks in your own life. And maybe you're saying something has come into your life as a Christian, and you're saying, "I don't know if I've got this root of the matter in my heart at all at times." Well, let me ask this question. We asked it, we mentioned Ruth. There was another daughter-in-law that came with Naomi. And she had come so far. And when she was pressed, she went back to Moab. Friends, if you want to know what is in your heart, are you prepared to go back to Moab? Are you prepared to go back to Moab? Back to the stagnant waters. Back to the stench. Back to the unsatisfaction of the world. Or with Ruth and Lydia, you're pressing towards Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread, to be with the one who is the bread of the world that is broken for us. And the Lord opened her heart. The Lord opened her heart. What a blessed thing it is when the Lord opens the heart. There's your encouragement that it is the Lord's work and not yours. May the Lord bless this word to us. Let us pray. Our gracious Lord, we draw before thee afresh. And we thank thee for the freshness of thy truth. We thank thee that it is indeed an encouragement to us. It is indeed that clear setting forth of thy work that thou dost work with mankind. And gracious one, we pray that thou would be pleased to draw here towards thy people with encouragement, that they would lay hold upon this truth of the work that thou dost work in the heart and the marks that flow from it, that they would see even that progression in their own life, from a heart before it is opened, and a heart that is being opened, and a heart after it has been opened. O ever blessed Lord, we pray that thou would continue to open hearts, that thou would even continue, blessed one, to open hearts over this communion season. And we ask thee, Lord, that we would keep our minds and our faith firmly fixed upon thee. And all we ask is in Emmanuel's name and for his sake. Amen.